As we study these verses in Mark 6, it's good that we should remember what Mark is about. He's showing us who Jesus really is. You remember chapter 1 and verse 1, Mark says, Huyu ni Yesu Christo, Mwana wa Mungu. And through the chapters, he's telling us how Jesus showed himself, how Jesus revealed his own identity as the Son of God. And he shows us just what kind of kingdom God's Son has. It's not like the kingdoms of this world. Of course, the apostles, they couldn't just pick up Mark's gospel and start reading it at this time. So they're learning as they watch Jesus. They're being very slow to learn. But they've been sent out to preach and to do great things to show that Jesus' kingdom was coming. And the great question is now being asked all around Galilee. Iezu ni nani? Pana watu ambao wanasema? Ni John the Baptist? Ali amenunua from the dead? Or some are saying he's a prophet. Some are saying, verse 15, he's Elijah. Because God promised to send a new Elijah. The last words of the Old Testament say that an Elijah will come. And that is the question being asked all around Galilee. Who do you say that Jesus is? Nimualimu? Somebody who does miracles? Or have you seen that he is much more? Ni mwana wa Mungu na mwokozi wa wote ambao wana okoka. Have you seen Jesus as he really is? Well, this passage is about King Herod, and it's about John the Baptist, and it teaches us some very valuable lessons, especially as we look at Herod. And then we look at John the Baptist. We look at John the Baptist and then we look at Herod. We see two very different men. One is a king and yet he's actually a slave. One is a prisoner and yet actually he's the most free man of all and he's a king. John the Baptist then. Una weza kukumbuka kwamba alihubiri. Jesu Christu, na alisemba kwamba, that Jesus was the one sent by God, that he was sent to introduce him. John was the one who went before, he went ahead of Jesus to introduce him to Israel and to the world. Well, King Herod was hearing now about the ministry of Jesus, and what he said was, this is John the Baptist. Our verse 14 says, there were some saying John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. And verse 16, Herod said, it's John the man I beheaded, cut his head off. He has been raised from the dead. Herod alikumbuka John the Baptist. Na wakati alisikia ya kazi ya Yesu alisemba John the Baptist tena alinunua, because he remembered. John never did any miracles. The Bible tells us that. It's in the Gospel of John. It says John did no miracles, but the same spiritual reality, the same spiritual power, the same teaching, the same power of the kingdom of God was at work as Jesus was being preached, and as Jesus himself was preaching. And Herod said, this is the same thing. It's John the Baptist. Of course, he was troubled, because it was he who had beheaded him, he who had murdered him. But when people see your lives, when people hear of your life, Will they know what it is? Will they say, ah, he's become a Christian? Will they say, this person is different now. She's become a Christian. And even they're just hearing some report. Even your cousin or your uncle or your aunt is hearing about your life now. And can they say, this person has really become a Christian? Has your life changed, believers, since you became a Christian? If people hear about you, will they know what it is? Well, let's look at verse 18. Verse 18 tells us what John had been preaching. So, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Well, the first thing you can see is he preached from the law of God, Sharia Lamungu. And you can see too that John preached that the law of God applied to Herod. Herod was the king, but the law of God was higher than Herod. And so servants and slaves and kings and rulers, the law of God applies to them all. You know what rulers like to say? They like to say, ah, mimi ni sharia. I am the law, and so I can do what I like. But John preached to Herod, you are under the law of God, and you must obey it. Here in the cities, you're under the law of God. If you go out round to Cana, you find some remote tribe who've never heard of Jesus, who've never seen a Bible, and yet they also are under the law of God. It has authority. We need to know the authority of God's commandments. We need to hear those words loud and clear. When temptation comes, loud and clear, you shall not do this sin. The authority of the word of God. However difficult your situation, however much trouble may come, however much pain will come, the law of God's authority remains. And so John preached it to the king. You can see in verse 18 also, John preached the law that especially Herod needed to hear. And so there's some explaining in verses 17 and 18 of the situation. Herod had a brother. Ndugu wa Herod alitwa Philip. Na Philip alikuwa mfalme pia, mfalme wa nchi kati ya nchi ya Herod. Na Philip alikuwa na bibi. Bibi wa Philip alitwa Herodias. Lakini Herod alitaka bibi wa ndugu wako wake Philip. And he actually took Philip's wife. Herodias wanted this too. Philip didn't die. Philip was still alive. Herod, in fact, it doesn't say so here, history tells us, Herod, in fact, had his own wife already. But he sent her away. And he took Herodias as his wife, his own brother's wife. But Herod was not allowed to say, oh, I am the law. I'm the king here. It's my country. Let me do it. No, John came to him and said, verse 18, this is your brother's wife. It's not your wife. It's your brother's wife. And it is not lawful for you to live with the one who is your brother's wife. And so John, can you see? He doesn't just come and say, well, Herod, there are laws of God you've broken. You must repent. He actually comes and says, Herod, this is the law you've broken. And you're sitting there and there's Herodias, but she's not your wife, Herod. It's not lawful for you to be with her. You must repent and you must send her away. And so John preached about Herod's sins. The only way to repent of sin is to repent of your sins. You can never say you've repented of sin until you've repented of the sins you're committing. You can only turn to Jesus when you turn away and reject those sins. So the law of God says you need to hear about your sins. People never like this, do they? We never like to hear about our sins. And yet it's what a faithful preacher does. You know, I Nina Fundisha Kidogo College, Kapsabet Bible College. Now, wanafunzi wanasemba kwamba katika kanisa ambalo wanajua, the pastors, they don't like to preach against the sins of the rich people in the congregation. Now, if there are the people in the congregation who are supplying the money to the church, or some in congregation a bit more powerful, they say they don't like to deal with any sins they see in those people. But John preached against the sin of Herod, and Herod put him in prison. For his faithfulness, John became califungua. Is that the word? He became a prisoner. Verse 17, he was arrested, he was bound, he was put in prison. And this part will tell us, too, he went to death. Now, Jay, ume sikia, umhubiri, ambao wanasemba. If you're faithful, you'll be blessed in this world. You'll have money, you'll have health. God will be with you. Have you heard those preachers? And yet, look at this chapter. John, the faithful man of God, goes to prison, goes to death. Yet Herod, the wicked tyrant, he continues to reign as a king. The Bible never teaches that God, in this life, gives his people good things whilst he gives his enemies trouble. Now, God can protect his people, and he often does. And he often blesses his people. But it's no guide. There's no promise that you'll never suffer. John spoke, and it brought him trouble. This is the way. Ni njia wa wokozi wetu Yesu pia, kwa sababu alienda msalabani. Jesus went even to that death. If you want to follow Jesus, you must be ready for that. It's what following Jesus means. For John, it meant prison and death. It's wrong to try to avoid trouble if it means sinning. It's wrong to try to avoid trouble if it means keeping quiet. Is there a situation where you need to speak? Is there somewhere at your work or in your clan where you need to speak? Because the law of God has spoken that you're being silent because you don't want trouble. If you would follow Jesus, you must go the way of Jesus, go the way of John. You must speak. The law of God has authority. Well, there's John, and his faithfulness brought him trouble. But now look at Herod, the king. Herod was a compromiser. Look at verse 17. He had him arrested, he had him put in prison. But he did it because of Herodias, his wife. Look at verse 19. Herodias wanted to kill John, but she was not able because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing he was a righteous and holy man. Herod knew that John was right. He knew that John was a holy man. Ali Linda, from the hatred of Herodias. But he still put him in prison. He still arrested him. So, which is it, Herod? Is John righteous? Then don't put him in prison. But Herod, is it right to punish John? Well, just kill him then. But you see, he's making some compromise, isn't he? He's trying to please his conscience inside, which says, Herod, you can't murder John, he's holy. And then his wife, who says, Herod, this man is trouble. Get rid of him, kill him. So he tries to make some compromise. So he follows the idea of Herodias, his wife, but he also tries to obey what is right. And that never works. That never goes well. Don't start compromising. If somebody tells you to do evil, and the law of God tells you to do good, don't try to find some way in the middle, where there's just small evil. That's the way of Herod. Now, young people, Vijana, you in particular, you find it hard to say no. You know, if your friends, if the group, other students or other children at school, if they are wanting you to do something wrong, we know you find it hard, but you must resist. You must choose the way of God. Fathers in your families, you must take responsibility. If your wife is pushing you, or if your children are all pushing you, if everybody is pushing you to do wrong, and there's much pressure, yet you must say no. It's your responsibility. So take responsibility. Well, Herod, verse 20, he feared John. So he heard the voice of conscience, and he would not kill him at first, because he knew what was right. You know, a godly person can be a great influence. Herod was kept from murder at first because of this influence. You don't know what influence you can have at work, at school, in your neighbourhood. What influence you can have if you stand up for truth. People won't come and tell you. They won't come and say, oh, you know, it's because of you. You've really stirred up my conscience. But that influence is still there. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You preserve and you keep from rottenness and evil. Well, verse 20 again tells us, Herod heard John. He liked to listen to him. Our translation here says he was puzzled, or the footnote says he did many things. He's hearing John's preaching. He knows it's true, and he's reacting to it. But it's not saving his soul. It's not good enough. He's still not repenting of his sin. And he's fooling himself. Are you like Herod, perhaps? Una kuja hapa kilawiki na una sikia neno la Mungu na una fanya vitu vingi. Lakini huja tubu ya zambi zako. You're fooling yourself. You're like Herod. Because you haven't yet killed John the Baptist, because you haven't yet run away and said, I hate that place, because you're still listening the words, you're fooling yourself. You're thinking that you're still somewhere near to God. Yet the sins you know you have, you won't repent of them. You know God's commandments. But you think God can be pleased if you just continue to come to church for a little time. You're like Herod. You're being restrained. But at some point, you'll cross a line and you'll never be able to go back. It'll be too late. Obey the word when you hear it. The day you know that you've sinned, repent. That day, don't wait. Usingoche. Herod compromised. But then, let's see, this is our final point. We had three to look at John, and that then Herod compromising. But now, Herod was ruined because he didn't repent. Verse 21, very interesting words. The opportune time came, or convenient time came. Because Herod was still playing with sin, he wasn't sending it far away. Eventually the day came, and that's what happens. There is a line, there is a day, and God will say, this person will not play with me anymore. You refuse to turn around? Well, you won't turn around. It's too late now. Your time is limited. Your time is limited. Did you know that? Well, the opportune day was a great party for Herod. It was his birthday, verse 21. And he invited all the important people. And so they're relaxing. They're having fun. They're enjoying themselves. They're eating. They're drinking. Entertainment. And Herod's defences are being dropped. It's a time of weakness. You know, when you are enjoying yourself, it's often a time of weakness. When there's friends and you're relaxing, it's often a time of weakness. Be careful. The world is full of entertainment that is sinful. And these things are often used to draw you away. No. If some great sin was put to you now, you'd say, Pastor, no, surely not. This is a holy time. We're worshipping the Lord, surely not. But if we went and relaxed for some hours and there was music, and if, like here, there are people dancing and everybody's relaxing, and there's noise and fun and excitement, and then the same temptation came to you, it might seem a little different then. So be careful. Don't let your guard down. When are those times when you're weak? Oh, be careful. Be careful. Well, Herodias had a daughter. Bintiwa Philip. Aliatua Salome. It doesn't say here, but Tunaweza Kusoma Vitabu via Hadithi history books. She came in, verse 22, and she danced. And these men who'd been eating too much and drinking too much, probably, she pleased them. Now, in all the eastern countries, women veil themselves and hide themselves, and they never come out in public. So the daughter of Herodias was obviously an ungodly woman. Like her mother, she didn't care for standards of decency. She pleased them with her dance, some lewd, unclean dance. And then Herod gives this promise, because he's so pleased, he's so caught up in it. Verse 22. Ask me anything you want, I'll give it to you. And then he makes an oath. Oh, be careful of oaths. You know, some promise by which you bind yourself. Says, whatever you ask, I will give you, up to half my kingdom. Well, Herodias' daughter, what a girl she is. She doesn't think of something. No, she goes to her mother, and she says, what shall I ask for? So they're working together. Herodias says, verse 24, the head of John the Baptist. Oh, she's been waiting all this time to do evil. And as soon as she gets the opportunity, even on Herod's birthday, you know, presidents and kings on their birthdays, often they'll give you some pardon. I mean, they might let some prisoners go free. But Herodias wants it to be a day of death for John the Baptist. Well, what would you have done? What should Herod have done? He should have said, look, I know I promised, but, you know, no promise means that really I'm going to become a murderer. You should know that when I promise, I'm not promising to kill a holy man. The death of John is more than half my kingdom. It's more than that. I would rather lose all my kingdom than become a murderer. So he should have said that. But look at verse 26. Because of his oath, and because of the dinner guests, he didn't want to refuse her. Oh, he was a proud man. I'll be embarrassed before my friends. Oh, they will think less of me. They won't think I'm the big king anymore if I don't do this thing. No. They don't care for John the Baptist. He's a nobody for them. And I've given my promise, and because of that, I'll have to do it. See, isn't that what happens when we're with many people and they're all going towards some sin? We think, what if I say something? They'll think I'm small. But actually, Herod was small when he did this. You know, he had no courage, no conviction. He was a coward. That's what made him small. There's nothing big about sinning. There's nothing big about following a whole crowd of people into sin. God will be pleased when we say no to the crowd. Do you say no to the crowd when your clan, when your people at work want to take you away to sin? Are you just proud and you don't want them to think badly about you, so you go with them? Well, Herod's pride cost John his life. Verse 27, verse 28. His head is cut off. It's put on a plate. It's brought into the banquet. There's no delay. His life was cheap to Herod. But remember, Herod could not forget John afterwards. When he heard about Jesus, he said, this is the same as John. It's John risen from the dead. And his conscience was tormented. See, inside, John was calm and he was at peace. He had spoken the word of God to Herod. He had done his duty. He had nothing to fear when he went to his death. But Herod, though he was a king, he was really the greatest prisoner of all, because his conscience kept telling him, you're a murderer, Herod. You killed a good man. And there's nothing good waiting for you when you die. Herod was ruined because he would not repent. He wouldn't say, stop, enough. This man is innocent. You are not my wife. He wouldn't do it. And eventually, he was ruined. Listen to your conscience now, so you're not ruined by it later. Repent of your sin today, so you don't cross that line when it's too far gone. Conscience is so powerful. I was reading a newspaper. There was a woman in America. She went to the police station and she said, 23 years ago I killed somebody and you never caught me. But it's been awful because every day I've thought about it. I can't live anymore knowing what I did. Please arrest me. Put me in the prison. Give me the punishment. I can't live with myself another day. For 23 years, the police could not find her. But God had found her every day and spoken to her every day about what she had done. And eventually she went to the police and said, you've got to arrest me. I did it. Herod thought John's life was very cheap. He gave it just for this oath. He traded it for a dance from Herodias, his daughter. But verse 29, John had friends and they remembered him. His life was not cheap to them. They came and took his body and they buried it in the tomb. They didn't have the head, but they buried the body. One verse in the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. The death of God's, one of God's people, is precious to him, and he remembers them. You choose sin in this life, and you won't be remembered except as evil. Even if it does you good in this life, you think, gets you money, gets you friends. But God will not be pleased. But you repent and trust in Christ and serve him, and your death will be precious in the sight of God. when that day comes. So, Jay, wewe ni Herod, our wewe ni John. You're faithful, even though it costs you so much, or you'll compromise because it saves you some trouble. You're faithful, even unto death, and then God will remember you. Or you compromise, and it's okay in this life, it seems, but at last you're ruined, and your sin is like a rope which is tying you round, tighter and tighter, until you're trapped, and you're totally destroyed by it. Are you a Herod, or are you a John?